But it's like those moments of like, oh, we're on stage playing to like a room full of people and everyone's singing our lyrics and like, how good is this? And then there's like, you know, the week's worth of we're traveling, we're rehearsing, someone lost our baggage, we're not making enough money. Like there's all that side of it.
Yeah.
But when you get that like, you know, half an hour, an hour on stage where it's really great, it keeps you going.
Today on the podcast, we speak to the amazing legends from the Gold Coast, Bootleg Rascal, Jimmy and Carlos. Absolute lord, these guys. They've just released their new album called Sloppy Seconds. What a name. We speak about touring. I mean, those guys have some stories. They've gone on the road a lot with Sticky Fingers. Guys are that fun. They're massive in the US and obviously here in Australia, and they are a lot of fun to have a chat to. Hey guys, we're here with Bootleg Rascal. How exciting. Thanks guys for having me in your beautiful rainforest abode.
Yeah, welcome.
No worries.
Yeah, thanks for having us as well.
No, you're welcome. So we just like to start the podcast with a bit of an icebreaker. So I don't know if you've got your phones handy.
Yes. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So we're just going to have a bit of a look.
Oh, geez. I'm actually real nervous.
Yeah.
What are we looking at?
So we'll look at your last text, Jimmy.
Oh, no.
And then, Carlos, we're going to look at your last photo on your phone.
Jeez, the last photo on my phone.
Super scary. Yeah. Okay. Oh, no. Okay. Text message. This is not set up either. Well, that's the one at the top. It's pretty boring, actually.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Jarro, it's a big file. That's so boring.
That's innuendo, though.
I was going to say, I don't know. It depends how you read that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe he let me see that. He was like, look, proof of the pudding.
This is actually true, yeah.
Yeah. What have you got?
I'm actually kind of surprised. Mine's just pizza.
Food. Oh, yeah, I fucking should have known. Is that Francie's?
It is.
Yeah, delish.
It is the place to be.
Yeah, for everyone listening, Francie's is where Carlos works.
That's lucky.
Tell him Carlos.
When fucking music is back, he will not be there.
Nah, never again.
Never again.
Exactly.
So tell me, what's the backstory with you guys? Like, how did you meet? How did you, like, the name Bootleg Rascal? Like, what's the genre? Well,
summer night back in 2000.
do you want the, like, the EPK, you know, official story?
I want the real. Yeah, fucking oath.
Well,
EPK version?
Yeah, I'll try and just keep it pretty short and sweet. But
okay.
Bootleg Rascal, the name, was a Sticky Fingers song. It was their song first. And then back in about 2013, I was starting the band with another guy who's no longer in the band, but we were looking for a name. The boys said you should use Bootleg Rascal as your name, and I was like, that's perfect, unreal. So we got the name, we recorded.
So wait,
songs.
The Sticky Boys said that?
They did.
That's right.
Yeah, so I was
chatting. You're in already.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I was like, this is a good start already. You don't even have a song recorded, and we've already got a really good name. So yeah, they were like, you should use this as your band name, and I thought that was a great idea. So we were running with that, and recorded some songs with the good mate Lyle Maloney and the guy who was singing in the band, Dan. We recorded these songs. Not long after that, Dan decided that he didn't want to do music anymore. He wanted to chase some girl through Europe or something like that. I don't know what it was.
Oh, God.
It was something silly. And then, our manager at the time was lecturing at a music college that Carlos was studying at. And Carlos wasn't even studying music.
Was this in Sydney?
This is in Sydney. And I wasn't even studying music at the time. I was studying like music business. I was before, but
he's a businessman.
I'd hopped around and changed. Exactly.
It's obvious.
You can see it.
Yeah.
But I was studying music business, and I used to take my guitar and kind of just like play in the corridors.
I like to think it was more so he was in the toilet just singing.
Yeah.
And
I see it as
him.
Like a Disney movie, you know, not like a 2000s comedy.
He was in the loo going, it's raining men. Neil was like, I need
doing a little dance.
Like, this guy is great.
Yeah. And so, he nominated Carlos to be the replacement for Dan, and we were booked to play Woodford Folk Festival, and we were about 3 or 4 weeks out and literally didn't have a singer in the band at that time. And we were like, okay, well, I think we just kind of have to run with this guy for better or worse anyway. And luckily it worked out really well and we're still here.
Literally spent like 4 days up at your parents' house in the shed learning the whole
thing. Really?
Yeah, we were up there like learning all these new songs.
And you'd just come off a tour and you were just like,
wrecked.
MIA for a whole day.
I was nearly dead, yeah.
Yeah, for a whole day, Jimmy's not
something
around
happened to
today.
Me. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Like a 24-hour virus or something. I don't know. This was before COVID as well.
Yeah.
This is a long time before that. But yeah, I was MIA for you a while. I was like, boys, just go in the shed and do your best.
Yeah.
And somehow we pulled it off.
Somehow we did pull
and
it off.
And then
you
did you
were
go
singing.
On tour?
I was singing a couple of songs for the first time as well. I'd never sung lead before.
Yeah.
And I had to sing a couple of songs. So it was all pretty...
yeah. It was very new
fresh
for everyone.
And new.
It was scary.
Yeah.
We were right so in the good. Deep end. So.
Like, I'd never played guitar in front of people at that point.
Yeah.
Just like in your basement or like in the garage like or something.
Not even that. I don't even know if he'd plugged in a guitar.
Seriously. Yeah.
He was like putting it in upside down and all sorts of stuff. But yeah, we got through it.
We did.
Yeah.
Fuck, so good. That's an interesting story.
Yeah, well, it was a bit better than the text message, wasn't it?
Yeah, way better than the text message.
And the last photo.
Yeah.
Fucking food, I knew it.
You thought you were going to get something really
no,
red
I
hot.
No, I thought, well, juicy, you know, shit. I thought maybe being the single man that he is, I was like, well, we might get something a bit raunchy here.
Yeah.
But no, it's fucking pizza.
Yep. Yeah. That is pretty raunchy, though. That quality.
And it's a good looking pizza.
It is.
It is the best on the Gold Coast, let's be real.
Yeah.
So I guess like with Bootleg, have you had like a boss moment, like maybe together, or has there been a moment for you that you can recall that has been like, fuck, how did I get here? Like just that penny drop of like, fuck, life's pretty good. It's pretty sweet.
I sort of think it's happened a few times, really. I mean, especially these days since all the COVID stuff went down, like even when we just, you know, we went and played Caloundra Music Festival the other week and just... being able to do that again was like, it makes you realize how much, you know, we are super lucky and how much we missed doing it. And then we got to do it again. But I'm trying to think of like standout moments. I mean,
I think for me, there's a thing that I always think about when I was like in year 10. I remember we had like some assignment.
I didn't know you went that far.
I know. I got there. That is, you got to at least get there. No, you got to at least get there. Jeez, I got to uni somehow. I didn't fake my way
in. You were paying your way through.
I got the paper and everything.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
He was stripping his way through college. You know, standard. Yeah.
He still is now.
The online gigolo service.
True, yeah.
The online gigolo service. But I printed out this picture of like this place. I didn't know where the hell it was when I was in school. And I think we're on tour with Sticky in Canada. And these people were like, you got to go to Lake Louise. And we ended up going.
That's right.
And then I realized when I got there that this was the photo that printed out in year 10 at school.
Shut up.
I need to get there one day. And yeah, for me, that was like a huge like, holy shit. Like,
without getting fucking spiritual.
That's crazy.
Do you think that that's like... almost like you've maybe like dreamt about it, like
maybe because at
that's
the time
so weird.
At the time, I was like, I need to get the fuck out of here.
Because like you know, sometimes you have those like epiphany. Oh, it's not even really an epiphany, but like sometimes you have those dreams where it feels so real, and then it's like it happens.
Yeah.
But then you're like, wait a minute, is this deja vu? Have I dreamt this? Has it happened? Like you're so confused. That's like one of those moments.
Yeah, I get those moments, and I try to guess what's about to happen, and I'm like, yeah. This is what's about to happen. Never works.
Yeah, I get those moments too, and it's never what you think.
No.
But it makes me go, cool, maybe my life's on the right track. Like, it's kind of like a...
Yeah, well, I heard that there was an interesting version of what deja vu is, because you know how technically they reckon it's just a chemical imbalance in your brain or something. But I read a thing the other day that said that one theory on deja vu is that that exact moment is happening to you in another, you know, like
form or
universe.
Something.
You know how there's meant to be, you know,
that's a cool one.
I like
so
that.
It means like another universe that's happening. So it must, yeah, some kind of like.
Fuck, I'm rolling with that connection. From now on. Like,
definitely.
Bianca and Mars is having
I'm
a fucking.
I'm in line with my multiverse.
Like, you know,
you're
talking about acid trips earlier. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Hectic.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm like, maybe that's just from a trip like a while ago.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
Hilarious.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess if you had any like moments that's been...
standout moments.
Yeah, well, like that's been a bad moment that you've like, it's been beneficial, like you've learned from it, like something that's happened on tour that you're like,
we haven't had too many bad moments, but I guess the closest thing I could think of with being on stage was actually we were on tour with Sticky Fingers again. I think it was that same tour potentially. And we were going along just to do a two-piece acoustic thing because we weren't taking the whole band. It was, there's a lot to it. But anyway, it was we didn't practice at all. We just figured, like, we've been playing these songs forever in a totally different scenario, like in a band scenario.
Yeah.
But we were like, we'll just get up. You've got an
we'll
acoustic.
Wing it.
I've got an acoustic. We'll sing. We'll dance around. It'll be fine. And so we're on stage, like, there's about 600 people at this venue in, I think it was in LA, the first show.
Yeah.
And it's like dead silent. Like everyone's just there, like ready to watch us perform. And you know, there's like no kind of like, when you've got a band behind you, there's a bit you can sort of hide behind. But when it's an acoustic show, it's just very much like,
you, me, and the crowd.
This is it.
Yeah.
And like the first song, we're like, okay, this song's called Sharks or whatever it was. And Carlos couldn't remember the first chord. And like, it probably took us realistically maybe like 30 seconds to or something like that.
Yeah.
It was less than a minute, but it felt like about an
hour. Eternity. I can imagine.
Eternity.
Fuck.
But we pulled it together and then the rest of the set went really well. And I think because of that, people kind of like, you know, the underdog thing.
Yeah.
Fighters.
Yes, they did get through one actual song.
Because well, like, I remember I was shitting myself just beforehand because we were doing a cover of Swimming Pools by Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about it. I was just like, yeah, this is a cool song. Let's do this cover.
You don't think about
and then the Krabs. Well, not even just that, but like Krabs in Sticky looked at me and he's like, bro, you're in LA and you're going to do a cover of Kendrick Lamar. And I was like,
yeah, true.
Yeah, like, but that can go either way, though.
I know, but at that point, I haven't even thought of that. And I was just like, what have I done?
But in the end, that was the least of our worries.
Yeah.
That was like the only song
we just
that was the
chords.
Only song we didn't fuck up.
Yeah.
Fuck. Well, so now there's no, you're not winging it anymore.
We still wing it.
Yeah. That still does happen. I just feel like we've gotten better. I think
winging
better
it.
Since then. Yeah.
I mean, fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Really.
That's 100%. All.
Bootleg motto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you're on tour, what do you think? Like, how do you stay balanced? Because I know for me, when I'm around going to different festivals or when I tour manage Dina, like. Fuck, like I'm such a routine girl. Like I love routine. I love my Pilates, starting it every day. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you guys do to stay balanced?
Jim runs Pilates in the hotel rooms every morning.
Gets the whole crew down. Come on, guys.
I do pole Pilates actually. So I've got a mobile pole that we set up, and it's almost like gymnastics.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I personally don't have a routine at all, and I sort of, like, for me, like, I sort of hate routine. So. Mm. It's perfect. The whole thing of touring for me actually works really well because I love just like, okay, tomorrow we're going here. We don't know what's going to happen there. Like, I really like bouncing around. And when I come back, I more so struggle with the idea of like, okay, every
coming
day.
Coming back
I'm
to normal this. Life.
Like if I'm like going to work or doing something, even like a few days in a row, that kind of wigs me out more because I think I'm just so used to, you know, like when I used to tour with these guys, I was pretty much on tour with Sticky and Bootleg, but alternating. So one band would go on tour, I'd go with them, they'd come back
and
they'd
then
have
you'd
a break,
leave.
And I'd go straight to these guys. So I was just literally on the road for like years. It felt like.
Yeah.
So for me, I don't really have, I mean, you definitely have to have little things. So you got to make sure you're eating right when you can. And
because you'd have to do, I was going to say the mental health is key. Yeah.
But it's super tricky because, you know, that lifestyle is, you know,
it's
you
hard.
Work at a pub essentially. So you're pretty much, even when you're not drinking a lot of the time,
you are drinking 100%.
And, you know, like all that stuff, you know, you're not sleeping well. You're not, it is hard when it's like 2 a.m. and the only thing that's open is the shitty pizza shop down the road, you know, like all that stuff factors in. I don't really have an answer for you other than just
clean eating, good sleep.
Just do what you can when you can.
Yeah.
Like, I got to the point where like every time I get on a plane now, I sit down, I do up my seatbelt, and I'm instantly asleep. And it was because
ridiculous.
That was the only time.
It's ridiculous.
Well, because when I was with Sticky, I was tour managing for quite a while too. So the only time I would get to relax is like, okay, everyone's here, we're all on the plane, click, bang. Like, I would instantly be asleep and it still sort of follows through.
Have you ever had a fuck up with tour managing? Because I've had one massive fuck up. Like, massive fuck up. And then now, like, that was the biggest thing that I, like, learnt from. Because Dina did not get on that fucking plane and she missed a festival and I was just like...
Well, like, I guess...
missing a plane is nothing.
I mean, the version that I can think of, I don't think it was my fuck up, but we finished like a huge tour of North America. It was pretty much fucked from go to woe. Like, it was the most diabolical tour every way you can imagine. Anyway, we're back to JFK, I think it was,
in
New York.
Yeah.
And we're already pushing it pretty hard. Like, we've checked in, you know, 500,000 pieces of luggage. Like, everyone's pretty haggard. We're running super late. And because, you know, that airport's super big, like, to get from the security part to the gate, that could be like a 10 or 15 minute walk.
Yeah.
It's not like the little ones we have here at Cooley where you just like pretty much just pull
up
the backyard. You know,
totally.
It's a bit different.
And you're just on the plane 5 minutes later.
Yeah. Drives you to the plane and walk on, you know. But yeah, it's not like that. But so we were there and I was like, okay, we'll get to the security check-in. Seamus went through before me and then I went through second and all the boys were literally like right behind me. So I was like, okay, boys, just get through as quick as you can because it's a bit of a process. Yeah. There was like 10 of us there and I said, I'm going to go to the gate. I'll get to the gate and I'll just see if, you know, if I get there first, maybe I can just tell them to hold off for 5 minutes, give us a bit more time, whatever.
Yeah.
So I get there, there's plenty of time. It's like 15 minutes before they're closing the, you know, the boarding gates or whatever. So I said to them the situation. I figured Seamus had already got on the plane, you know, because I couldn't see him anywhere. I was like, okay, he's just got on the plane. He's just doing his thing. Cool.
So fuck, you've left him in fucking New York.
Well, yeah, it gets better. So like, I was like, they were like, look, don't worry, there's plenty of time. They said we have to wait for another plane to land, to land because there's
the traffic, you know, is a joke with planes. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, don't worry, they're going to land. We're going to bring passengers from that plane to this plane. Sweet. You guys will be fine. Don't worry about it. So I get
famous
on the plane
last words.
And I'm kind of like there and I'm just like, you know, tapping away, like twiddling my thumbs. And I'm like, I haven't seen any of the boys get on the plane yet. And like at this point, we're all sitting in different parts of the plane too because of the way it was booked. So, you know, it wasn't like, oh, there's a whole
row.
Like,
yeah.
We were all over the shop.
Scattered, yeah.
And I was just like, And then next thing they like, okay, we're backing out now. And they shut the door. I was like,
you're like, fuck.
Like, well, because I was half nodding off too, you know, because that's what I do. Yeah. Like, instantly. But I was like, oh, maybe they got on. They must have gone on. It'll be fine. So then I take off, land in LA. I get off the plane and I'm standing at the gate there.
And that flight from JFK to LA is like, it's long.
It's like 5 hours.
That's like going to WA. Like, I would be so stressed.
But it felt like 30 seconds to me.
Yeah, because you fell asleep.
I hadn't slept for like 6 years. So I was just like, okay, I'll catch up now.
Planes are like Xanaxes. Yeah.
And I literally wait for every passenger to walk off the plane and then they close the gates and there's no one else coming. I'm just like, fuck. And no one got on that plane. And then, I think I got to like the lounge and I'm talking to the boys and I'm talking to Carlos and I'm like, What the hell happened? And apparently what had happened is Seamus went through before me. He decided to go off and get sushi. Though I was like I was like, we have to get on this plane. Like, just go straight to the gate. He went off and got food, walked back. By the time he got back with his
food, plane was gone.
It was gone. And so these guys...
So he's at JFK.
We got stuck at customs.
These guys stuck at customs. I won't go into too much detail, but one of the boys had...
What'd you have on you, mate?
Well, it wasn't Carlos.
It wasn't me. Why did you think it was me?
One of the boys
had
a little...
dodgy right now.
Yeah, it is dodgy. Well, he had a little... It wasn't Carlos, but one of the boys had a little novelty bullet.
It was a necklace.
Oh, yeah.
It was a
necklace, but it was shaped like
a... I used to have one of those.
Bullet.
I know, exactly.
But even better than that, it wasn't just that he was carrying a bullet. It opened up and it was a knife. There was a knife in there. So he was essentially trying to take a knife disguised as a bullet onto a plane.
Fuck.
The customs people lost their shit. Yeah.
So anyway,
that's
it was like
heavy.
That
it's
it
like
to
you're
it.
Going to hold up the airplane or some shit.
That's right. So they confiscated that, obviously, but the process of doing that just took forever. Yeah. I didn't realize that was going on. And by the time they got there, I was already...
We got to the gate and Seamus is just there with sushi being like, nah, we missed it. Just like, awesome. And then I cried.
Yeah.
Oh, you cried.
Yeah. This is like... At the back
it
of a tour,
most days, so it's not
this
that
was
big.
Like the back of a tour where like it was the most you know, emotionally draining tour of my life.
Yeah, we won't go into the detail of that tour, but it was like diabolically
it was
bad.
It was by the time we were at that airport, it was like I hate everyone. Everyone, get away! I'm glad we're not sitting next to each other.
Yeah,
goodbye.
Yeah, right.
And I was in the lounge in LA talking to Soph because she was really excited to have me back. Well, I don't know why. But she was like, I can't believe you guys missed a flight. And I was like, I didn't miss shit. Yeah. I'll see you in about 14 hours.
Yeah.
So did you leave?
Broken man.
Obviously, they stayed in JFK and then they've had to fly to LA to get back to Australia.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you left though and went back to Australia.
Yeah, I was done.
Without them.
I was out.
Fuck.
But I was like, well. When
that's red hot. I would feel like I would have to stay.
Oh, no. If you're in the situation that we're demanding, you would just be like, fucking oath.
See ya.
Yeah.
Plus,
like, my job is
money.
Done.
Like, that cost them like $7,000 to change their flight. So I was like, well, when you think about it, I just saved you like a grand out of that or something.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Could have been $8,000.
Yeah. Fuck. So you guys are pros at getting out of sticky situations then, maybe?
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, we're good at rolling with the punches,
I
think.
So. That's more so. We're good at picking ourselves up off the floor.
Yeah.
It's more so, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And do you have a backup plan? Like, I guess if music, like...
We really should.
I think so.
But you know what they say. Sometimes, like, you just have to go 100% all in. Like, if you give yourself too many ways out, you're never going to fully invest in something. So, in a way, like, we both do other stuff on the side for sure. And we're both interested in other things. But I think you kind of have to go like, I'm going to make this work. Otherwise, if you're like, oh, I'm going to be a lawyer and a banker and this and all that, you know, whatever it is, like, yeah, if you're doing all that, you're never going to be completely devoted to doing music. And that is kind of the only way it
100%.
Works. 100%. Like, it doesn't necessarily work.
Yeah. So, and yeah, like, I'm sorry, like, it's a shit time right now, obviously, yeah, for all of us. It's getting better. It's the best industry in the world to work for, like, to work in. Why would you want to work for anything else?
100%.
I don't know. If you want to actually make a living, I understand.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not about the money. Bad, it's though, about the happiness.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I totally agree with you. I mean, I think working in this industry is, I always think about it like, I've never been a heroin addict, but I imagine it's kind of what it's like. You know, there's like these moments of like just super awesome highs, and they're few and far between, and there's a lot of other
lows,
stuff that comes with it. But it's like those moments of like, oh, we're on stage playing to like a room full of people and everyone's singing our lyrics and like, how good is this? And then there's like, you know, the week's worth of, we're traveling, we're
rehearsing,
someone lost our baggage, we're not making enough money. Like, there's all that side of it. Yeah. But when you get that, like, you know, half an hour or an hour on stage where it's really great, keeps you going.
But I feel like those where you're like losing baggage and all that, that just adds to the fucking story. Yeah. Like, I love
looking
the
back
story.
On it. Looking back
depends
on it,
it happens.
Depends what happens, And it looking depends on your come down, I guess.
Well, right now, I'd be happy to have a few like lost baggage experiences because it's been quite a while since we have. You know?
Yeah. I'm getting on a plane on Friday and I'm fucking so excited.
Yeah.
Like, it's been
a while.
It's been since, I don't know, May.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad because I went to Perth in May or June, whenever it was anyway.
They let you in, though.
Yeah, they let me over there. Yeah. Got back just before all the lockdowns. It was fucking... just by the grit of my teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got there. But yeah, now
so
the bastards are all
allowed back. So you didn't have to endure quarantine?
Nah, I haven't done quarantine. I actually haven't had a COVID test.
Oh, really?
Nah.
I haven't had either, actually.
I haven't had to have one.
They tickle.
Jab.
Yeah. But I think when I go on tour next year with For the Love, I think it's kind of like we have to have it every single time we go on site. So I have to have a COVID test pretty much every day, all day, every day.
Oh, you'll get used to it.
Yeah, so the brain will tickle a bit.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Yeah. It cleared out a lot of cobwebs for me. Yeah. Yeah. I felt like things started working a bit better. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I get super good reception now as well.
Yeah, your 5G's gone up.
Yeah, it's through the roof.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like being on Telstra everywhere I go.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
awesome. Do you guys have like a favourite tour story, like the best story yet?
Like, I mean, probably some of the
you sound like you've got some great ones.
We really do, but they're kind of like, they're pretty, I don't know, they're like, they're pretty big stories.
And yeah.
Like, when you say best, like the best stories aren't necessarily like always like the best experiences at the time, but we've got plenty of those.
There's so many.
What's like a nice positive short story?
That's what
story
I'm trying to think of.
That's what I'm trying to think of as well.
Because they all kind of revolve around either just being like, all right, we're going to do this or...
We're not giving away too much here, are we?
Yeah, you're not giving away
too
much.
Well, you know, we haven't played for quite a while, and the other weekend we played at Caloundra Music Festival. And
how
Carlos,
was that?
Well, it was good. Carlos got to meet Dicko and have a photo with Dicko.
Yeah.
Shut up.
That was good.
That's a positive
that was awesome
tour story.
He said, you did good, mate. And I was like, holy shit.
It was like Australian Idol all over again.
Fucking oath.
Got flashbacks and everything. Yeah.
How old is he now? Did he look old?
Oh, he looked about 80. I don't know. Yeah. More or less, give or take a year or two, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's pretty old. Like, surely, Australian Idol, that was on, I guess, I'm 36. That was on when I was, like, 16 or something,
years
right?
ago.
When he was on there? Like, I don't even know who's on there now. Is it Delta Goodrum?
I would have been, like, 12, I think.
Yeah, it was Delta probably wasn't even born when the first
one
was.
Delta wasn't on there. It was Dicko, Marsha Hines, and that other dude with the weird hair. That weird thing.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
Our Simon Cowell, wasn't he?
I don't know what that guy's name is, but he's kind of got David Hasselhoff. Like,
Exactly.
He was a bit of a pop star from back in the day, too. He did have that song.
He looks like he's out of Wham or something. That's the vibe that I get.
That was the best bit about him, I thought. But then, yeah, I'm not sure if his personality was up to the Wham image, you know?
Oh, 100% not.
I don't know.
Yeah. And do you have any like goss? Like, is there any new music collabs? Fucking a tour.
Goss about us. Yes.
Yeah. There's lots of goss.
There's lots of goss.
We're about to start a tour pretty soon next
month.
Yeah.
We actually are. Yes.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I'm sort of going to believe it when we're actually
on a plane.
On it. Yeah. Well, the Queensland shows will definitely happen.
I think we're going to
Queensland. That's definitely for sure.
We're going the whole way around Australia between November and February.
You know what? So. I reckon it'll all happen, but Perth.
Well, yeah. There's a good chance. I mean, we love going over there too, so it'd be great if we could. Yeah. But yeah,
WA's
I feel like
awesome.
That's the most probably.
Like, yeah, because we're looking at like obviously with our tour, that's not until. March for WA.
Okay.
But like even still the whispers that I'm hearing is like the borders for WA won't be opening till April.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
Like gnarly. And like, then, yeah, we can't get an exemption for musicians to go. Like, we're all happy to go, obviously, get a fucking COVID test. Mm. And we can't get an exemption with a COVID test to get over there to actually, like, play music and bring in money to their economy. But yet, footballers can get exemptions. I'm like, mate, come on. It's starting to be a bit of a piss take. Like, it's been 2 years.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's like we said, you know, if we could gamble on music, I reckon we would have been playing the whole time virtually. But, you know, you can't.
We said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Throw some pokies in every festival and, mate, we've got a winner.
But can't we just start, like, putting odds on whether a gig or not
goes ahead?
You know, or something like that.
I swear you can do that.
Yeah.
I swear there was someone was taking bets, like sports bet or something, whether fours would happen or not. Like whether
oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah, they do have a lot of things on there.
Yeah.
I mean, they put on there The Bachelor. Like, surely we can fucking step it up with some music game.
The Bootleg Rascal album tour. Right?
Yeah. Will it happen?
Will it happen? It's $1.30 odd.
Yeah.
Could go either way.
So good. Yeah. And what's like three male artists that inspire you?
Do you want to go first?
I like Anderson Paak.
He's really good.
He's real good.
Can they be they have to be alive or anyone?
Anyone.
Live or dead?
Anyone.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd say probably like Anderson Paak. I love Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Oh,
I'll go back. Yeah. I'll go back there. And James Brown.
Okay. Yeah. Very random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit random.
Yeah.
But I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, Jimmy?
Well, I've been inspired by a lot of people over the years, but lately, I guess I'll just go with the ones that have inspired me the most lately. And I've probably been listening to heaps of Miles Davis.
Yeah.
Been really digging that. Talking Heads. Like, I sort of came to Talking Heads like a bit later on. Like, it's only really been, I guess, the last couple of years. But now I'm just like, how did I just let this fly? Like, obviously, everyone knows, you know, Talking Heads songs.
Yeah.
Psycho Killer, all those big ones. But I don't know. For me now, I just have a really deep appreciation for that. And I've been listening to that heap. So I guess pretty much all those guys, but especially old Davo there.
Mm-hmm.
And what's another one? That's two, isn't it?
Yeah.
You
got one more.
I'm going to say Bradley Noel, who was the singer of Sublime, who passed away in 96. But at that time, I was skateboarding heaps with my mates. We had a little half pipe up at my folks' place and we were listening to Sublime every day. And then that led to us starting our first band. And I think without him and Sublime, the band, like I probably wouldn't have been as interested in starting
in music.
In music. So that was kind of what we pushed were just like, you. I just want to skate every day and like play music like Sublime. And that was me and my buddies and we started a band. And one thing kind of led to another, and now I'm
here you are, Bootleg Rascal.
Still doing it, just without the skating.
Yeah.
So the game's Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Fuck, Marry, Kill.
So out of the three people that you've said, who would you fuck, who would you marry, and who would you kill?
Who did I even say again? Okay. Well, Bradley Noel passed away, so I feel like if I say I'd kill him, it's kind of like,
it's okay. Like,
yeah, you know, it's all right.
Balancing the universe. Yeah, back out. I'm not really doing anything that's not already happening. Yeah. So I'll say kill him just because of, you know, he's already passed away. I think out of Miles Davis and Davo from Talking Heads, I'm gonna say I'd probably, I don't know, like Miles he was pretty seductive. I'm gonna probably say I reckon I wouldn't mind getting freaky with him. You know, a bit of like smoky jazz music.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that.
I would have said the same, actually. Yeah.
And I'm going to marry Dave.
Yeah. You know, okay, cool.
I'm sure that'll be a roller coaster ride in itself, but.
Okay.
I'd probably marry Anderson Paak because he seems like a super nice guy.
You guys almost look a bit similar.
Yeah.
Almost
marrying
your brother or something.
Like, that's a bit weird. Yeah.
But you know.
But not blood related.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What else you got?
Probably Frank Sinatra.
Oh, you'd fuck him.
Fuck Frank.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
so. He's got a good ring to it.
Yeah. Fuck Frank.
I'd fuck Frank.
Fuck Frank.
Or would he fuck you?
That's the question, right?
Okay.
That's the question. That is the question.
I think he had plenty of practice.
I think he did. I feel like he'd fuck you for sure.
He'd definitely be the dominant one, I think.
The same thing.
Yeah.
Is this going to get edited out later?
Oh, no, man. There's no edit.
Okay. I killed James Brown.
Perfect.
Kill James Brown.
Yeah, well, same thing, right? He's already passed away.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
True.
Yeah,
so, exactly.
Yeah. That's probably an easy way to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fuck. Well, it's been a pleasure, guys. It's been actually so fun.
That was really
We're
fun.
Ending on yeah. that. That's awesome.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate
you
coming on the
no
podcast.
Worries.
And fingers crossed the tour happens so we can all get amongst it. When does it start? When do you go?
It starts on the 19th of November in Brisbane at the Woolly Mammoth.
Yep.
And then we basically are planning on bouncing around the whole of Australia, more or less, depending on what we're allowed to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Perfect. Well, I'll be there the 19th.
We're going to Melbourne.
Because then I head to Melbourne.
Month, aren't we? Is it this month?
Yes. Yeah.
The album.
Yes.
We're going to Melbourne dropping this month. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Called Sloppy Seconds.
Yeah.
Sloppy Seconds?
Yeah.
What a name. You guys kill it with the names. Let's be real.
Well, we just recycled a whole lot of old shit. So that's mostly why it's called Sloppy Seconds.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that. You know. So great.
Yeah. Just
well, can't wait. I'm frothing.
Thank you.
I head to Melbourne on the 12th of December, so I'll definitely come to the.
Cool.
We're playing Miami too on the 4th of December.
Oh, Miami Maketa. Mm-hmm. Fuck, way better. I'll go there.
Even exactly. You don't have to get on a plane.
Even easier.
Yeah, way easier.
Gonna be dry like an hour north.
Yeah. And I can get drunk at that one because, like,
I
Uber
certainly
home.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. We will link the artist's Instagram and Spotify in our show notes. Please like and subscribe and follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube to stay up to date with your favorite artists. We'll see you next week, Side Stage. My feet, they move me out on the street, I lose me.